Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. It is Friday, June the 12th, 2026. Let me make sure I give a shout out to the patrons of the show. Emlis, Carolyn, Justin, Mary, Teresa, Albert, Jeff, Julie, Deborah, Kirk, Elise, Dominic, John, Jason, Irina, Tony, Michael, Christina, Brian, Sarah, Arnie, and Barb. Thank you all so much for continuing to support this show. Week after week, month after month, trial and trial after tribulation, and it's been a little more irregular than I would like in the last little while, and I'll get into some of that very surface level here in a moment. But thanks for being here. And today's a solo show. I have been writing a lot of notes and doing a lot of writing in general lately, and so there's a few different themes that I'm going to touch on. Mainly, this season of life has been as heavy as there has ever been. There's a lot of things in the air, and I don't want to get too much into specifics on what those things are, but it's been challenging nevertheless, and booking show guests and things like that. So thanks for just continuing to be here and continuing to show up, whether there's a show or not, whether there's an original or not. It's difficult gauging the podcast audience lately, simply because I don't necessarily know what people want to hear. Sometimes when I air a recovery story, feedback comes and it's not super great for that. Interviewed a lot of experts in the field, pretty much all that there is. And I've put out some inquiries to Steve Ozanich, put out inquiries to Dan Ratner and Howard Schubiner with his new book dropping. And there's a little bit of interest from the two former. Haven't heard back from Howard yet. But ultimately want to give you guys a good experience and something that's worth listening. I will say that among all the feedback that I do get, honestly, some of these off-the-cuff type shows that I do seem to get the most positive response, and I don't know why that is, but you know, nevertheless, that's how it is. So I do appreciate you being here. We're heading into summer. The kids finish school here in the next few days. Zoe's going to be off to middle school as a seventh grader. Audrey's going to be off to third grade. This week, I chaperone Monday's field trip for the fifth and sixth graders. Wednesday, chaperone the sixth grade field trip. Today, which is Thursday as I record this, chaperone the second and third graders going to the zoo. And then Monday, I will chaperone field day. So like, it just kind of never ends. But this is all good stuff. And my company is very gracious in the sense that they give me 16 hours of volunteer and action time. And so I typically will use that to donate my time to the school and try and participate in a lot of things. And a lot of stuff just tends to come up the last couple of weeks of school. So want to be there for the kids and want to be there for the community and do all that kind of stuff here as we round third and go towards the summer. So something that I was thinking about. So again, there's three main pieces here that I was thinking of, like what are life incidents that have come up that can have a TMS twang to them. One is, and these are going to feel very divergent, but one was Murph, which is it's a CrossFit workout, Memorial Day Murph, which I did a couple of weeks ago. And how does that relate to it? The illusion of control, motorcycle tire changing, believe it or not, that comes into effect here. And chaperoning in general, and really like also just coaching, kids coaching in particular, and kind of how that can relate. Again, these all feel like very divergent things, but just follow and sit with me for a minute. So I was doing Murph a few weeks ago. I did it on May 24th. May 25th was raining, and that was the actual Memorial Day, and it has a lot of running in it. So if you don't know what this workout is, you can partition it however it is that you want, except for you've got to run a mile, and then you have to do however you want, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 air squats. Break that up however you want, and then you got to run a mile after that. I've been doing this workout just about every year since 2012. And I remember the first time I did it, I think it took me north of an hour, probably 65 or 70 minutes. And over time, that has reined in and reined in and reined in. And at this point, I don't know if am I fitter or am I just better at doing this workout? So did it this year in 33:18. That was an 8-second improvement over last year. And when I look at the last 4 years that I've done this, did it in 23, 24, 25, and 26. So in 2023, I did it in 39 minutes and 50 seconds. The next year, 36 minutes and 26 seconds. The next year, 33 minutes, 26. And then this year, 33:18. here's where we are. One of the things that people tend to do that are new to this TMS type work is a lot of times they say, hey, I'm in pain now. I'm going to read this book, or I'm going to listen to this podcast, or I'm going to do this workbook or whatever. And then at the end of that, I will be out of pain. 100 times out of 100, that doesn't happen that way. Maybe 99 times. Maybe one person gets lucky. And so what I was thinking about is, like, you need to be able to really get through the middle. The middle part of MRF is the hardest part. So how can I handle this boring, hard middle when there's this huge goal at the end? I have all this excitement in the beginning, but ultimately being able to get through the middle. And this is really how I see, like, TMS work. And there's pacing involved in certain things, but with MRF at this point in time, for me, because I've done it so many times, probably 12 or 13 times at this point, maybe more than that, it's not really caring what the end result is. It's just getting it done, like just doing it. So outcome independence is what makes me think of this, that I don't need it to be the fastest. I don't need it to be the best. I don't need it to be the most productive. I just got to do it. And for some people, that means that they should journal, or they should meditate, or they should do a variety of things, somatic tracking, that are in their TMS tool chest. But doing something while at the same time not having a stringent goal where, hey, the only result that matters is if I break my time. Like if I set a PR in this, it's the only way that this workout even matters. I don't approach working out or doing CrossFit or lifting to that anymore. I certainly used to 10 years ago and 12 years ago and 13 years ago and things like that. If I didn't have a more productive week this week than the previous week, it was always a failure. And at this point in time, my whole life, everything, whether it's working out or taking care of the kids or doing workouts or work, sales in general, it's what do I have to do today in order to show up tomorrow, still be here tomorrow? And for a lot of ways, that really just means being okay with whatever the outcome is and just enjoying the ride for what it is, whether it's great or it's awful or it's bad, or it's the best thing ever. That piece in the middle and being able to just sort of ride the wave of that, whatever it is, and know that I'll wake up tomorrow is really sort of the best way to go. And I think about that for TMS and chronic pain work too. And I know it's tough when you're in the midst of the fire and everything hurts and you feel shitty every single day, but it really works for me. Tied to this is the illusion of control. One thing that I've wanted to be able to do by myself for years, if you're a motorcycle rider, you'll understand this, for years, is being able to do the skill of changing tires on my own. And it sounds so dumb, right? You take your car to Les Schwab or Discount Tire or whatever, and you sit there and you scroll on your phone, and an hour or two later, they're done swapping out your tires. Motorcycles are such a bigger pain in the ass because there's so more limited shops, limited opportunities, limited number of people that even know how to do this. And so you can take it to a shop, but you think of doing this when the weather's really nice. And so when the weather starts to amp up and you call shops, they're going to say, we're currently booked out 6 weeks. And then even at 6 weeks, you can drop your bike off there and they'll tell you to pick it up in 3 or 4 days. That's not, I hate being that out of control with something that I use so often. And there's no shop really that close to me, so it's not convenient at all. So about, a month ago, I set out all my, I had all the tools like to be able to do it on my own. So I thought, okay, how can I do this? I'll do the most difficult, notoriously the most difficult one first, which is the rear tire. Took the rear tire off. It was my, this is on my Tenere 700. So my Pirelli Scorpion Rally STR tires that I love, but I wanted to get some more dirt bias tires on there. So bought the tires. I take the rear one off. It takes, not shitting you, to get the tire off, which is supposedly the hardest thing, was like 45 minutes to an hour. Like, not hard at all. Getting the new one on took 3 hours to get the new one on. So at this point we're like, you know, 4.5 or 5 hours in. Then comes the front tire that took forever to get off, and then another 3.5 hours to try and get it on. Just about as I get to the end, and I go to put it back on, I realize that I had the rotation wrong. Tires orient, at least motorcycle tires do, most of them orient in a certain rotation. So if you put them backwards, not as good. I swore I looked at that thing 10 times. Imagine getting to the end of a 5-hour project and you realize you've done it in reverse. So at that point in time, I just tapped out. I took the front wheel to cycle gear. They swapped it. But again, I just hated, okay, I got to drive 20 minutes to get there. They said they'd have it done the next day. I call the next day, not done. Call the day after that, not done. The third day, finally it's done. I go and I pick it up. So we're talking about several days of just waiting around, and then 40 minutes round trip, and then still having to put it on. So it's this like illusion that, yeah, I can change my own tires, but really I'm still at the mercy of whatever the piece wants me to do. And to fast forward onto this, one thing that I did to be able to sort of manage myself with something like this, I bought what's called a Rabaconda tire changer to be able to do this stuff on my own, and just be a little bit more self-sustaining and self-reliant at it. And the other thing, and this isn't necessarily related to TMS, but it could be, and it actually, you know what, maybe it is very tied to this. So the front wheel, from the time that I, with this new Rabaconda tire machine that I bought, from the time that I put the bike on its center stand to when I changed it and when I went to go remount it after I balanced it, everything like that, for the rear wheel, 37 minutes. Incredible, right? Be able to do it that fast. The front one, same issue as the last one, trying to get that front or the first bead just on the wheel. I mean, it was taking me a couple of hours, and then eventually my wife said, take a break, eat dinner, come back, look at it. So I just took the tire completely off and I was like, okay, I'll reset. I'll do this again from the top, and anticipating it would take me a couple of hours. I do that. I go inside, I eat dinner, I come back out, and within 4 minutes I have the tire on completely. So I just needed to step away. I needed to stop focusing on it, and I needed to look away, and I needed to go find something else to do, and then pop, it worked. And I thought like, ooh, that works a lot to what I was just talking about with this outcome independence idea. You're watching the clock, you're journaling every day, and you're saying, in 30 days, I will be better and I will have no more back pain. And then you get to the end of 30 days and it didn't happen and you're still in pain, or maybe you're even in more pain. And a lot of that is because of this hypervigilance. You're looking at a clock, you're expecting to be out of pain, on and on and on and on and on. It's not doing you any favors, I guess is what I'd like to say. The last thing is the chaperone effect. So I've chaperoned all these kids this week, and then I'm going to do more on Monday. And they're not always going to do what I want to say. Two of these field trips were to pools, and trying to get, you know, 40 sixth grade boys to not be insane and not scream in these places and in the locker rooms and all that kind of stuff is a near impossible task. So what options do I have? I can continue resisting. What you resist persists. I continue resisting, and I can yell at them back, or I can do whatever, or I can just say, this is going to be over in 5 or 10 minutes and it's going to be like no big deal. So I took the latter and it was over. So like the power of intentional presence, I'm there, but I can't control the situation. And radical patience, I stepped out of this like hypervigilant, trying to control the situation despite how chaotic kids are and how high energy it is, was doing nothing for my nervous system to get me to settle down or chill. So I really just needed to be able to take a step back and let the moment sort of live for itself and let the fire flame itself out. And it worked. And it worked great. That's a nice little appetizer for your palate, 15 minutes. So again, the chaperone effect, the illusion of control, and the art of changing tires, motorcycle tires, and the Murph mindset. Those are three things that related to me to TMS in a big way in these last couple of weeks. Appreciate you being here. We will talk soon. This has been the Mind and Fitness Podcast.